T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
FM News Talk 97.1. You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you. Tony Colombo joins us in studio now. Tony, can you tell us about the situation in the Strait of Hormuz is getting a little more lively?
Iran has seized a British-flagged oil tanker today in the Strait of Hormuz amid growing tensions in the region. The Cinta Impero, which has a crew of 23 on board, was approached by unidentified small crafts and a helicopter during transit of the Strait of Hormuz while the vessel was in international waters. According to the shipping company that owns the vessel, the company says they are presently unable to contact the vessel, which is now heading north towards Iran. Iran's Revolutionary Guard forces, in a statement on their website, say the ship was seized for non-compliance with international maritime laws and regulations, and he is being brought to an unnamed Iranian port. So that's, and that is according to the Associated Press. So the Iran Revolutionary Guard, on their own website, has admitted that they have seized this ship for non-compliance with international maritime laws and regulations. The Associated Press say the ship is being brought to an unnamed Iranian port. And the company that owns, again, this is a British oil tanker. The company that owns it says that they were approached by unidentified small crafts and a helicopter during transit of the strait. And they were in international waters at the time, and they say that they are unable to contact that vessel, so they are unable to get any type of communication from them.
Reactions? So
that is a...
touchy
situation.
With everybody else who's listening to Tony report that right now going,
holy
sugar.
Holy crap, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm hoping it can end with a diplomatic solution, but...
We're reaching out to JJ Carafano saying, hey, if you got 5 minutes to give us the lowdown, we'd love to hear from you. So if we can squeeze him in here in this last hour.
Yeah, it's awfully, right now I don't think that there's really, except for the Iranian Revolutionary Guard saying that the ship was in non-compliance with laws and regulations.
Yeah, whatever that's supposed to mean.
Yeah, I mean, until we get more information from them, more of a description of why they decided to do this, this is just a very fluid situation. So I'm sure everyone around the world is watching this intently. And as soon as we get more information.
Yeah, Tony will be watching this for the rest of the day. So if there's anything that is updated on this, we'll be sure to have it for you in 97.1. I assume that if there's some sort of military strike that is returned, that we will be on it.
Yep.
Definitely seems like Iran is poking the bear,
but I'm guessing there's a SEAL team that's been mobilized.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Or the Avengers.
Yeah, or the Avengers. They're on deck.
How about a Hulk smash on this nonsense?
There you go.
Have I told? I told you about my 3-year-old is likes Hulk and she does a Hulk smash, which is really destructive to be 3 and just think you can Hulk smash anywhere you want. She's got very small limitations.
Has she hurt herself yet?
No. I think she's hurt other people. she hurts me.
Breaking people and things. Well, that's very Hulkish, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just, you invoke the Hulk and and what happens.
It makes me happy that she's already like, I've got the power. I'm 3 and I've got the strength and the power.
You've
little,
met her.
Little tiny ball of destruction.
Sure. Yes.
It's kind of cute.
Yes. Yeah, she's got these little curls. And it's very misleading. Don't look directly at her. Avert your eyes. She will put a spell on you and then she will Hulk smash you. And kids don't understand where you can Hulk smash and where you can't. So
right,
I'm just telling you, if she's sitting in your lap,
zero boundaries.
Oh, man. So we've talked a lot about a lot of things today. Mark Levin has been just laying it out there. He was on with Sean Hannity, and I don't think I've played this last clip yet, so I want to get to this. We've got Gabe Pfeiffer in studio with us now. Gabe has got a YouTube channel, St. John the Philosopher, so go follow him on YouTube. Just go hit the subscribe button, and every time he loads a new video up, you will see it. And Tony Colombo joins us in studio now. He's going to be on this news as it continues to develop as well. But I've also got some phone calls that I want to get to. We've talked a little bit about abortion. We talked a little bit about race. We've talked a little bit about the president and his reactions. We've also talked about the difference in how Democrats and Republicans, mostly Democrats, will approach these issues and try to keep people in their lot in life and their station in life. And then tell them that whatever else is needed, that they'll provide. As you elect me and I will give you the rest of what you need. But when they're the ones who get to tell you what you need and tell you when to be satisfied, that friggin' sucks.
Yeah.
Right? So I want to get to some phone calls here, and then I'm going to play for you in this hour a clip that Bernie Sanders, this is something that he said, and it has to do with health insurance and healthcare reform. And he says something here. It's not the point of what he was saying, but I'm going to show you what he said in here that makes you understand exactly the heart and soul of the Bernie Sanders movement and what socialism is going to do for this country. So if you want to join us, the lines are open for the rest of the show. We can talk about whatever you want because it's Friday and I don't care and I have to go to 3.
Woot.
And then Dave Glover takes over and he gets to do his thing. So 314-241-9797 if you want to join us. Let's start with Jeremy. Thanks for calling the show. Hey, Jeremy, you there?
Oh, yeah. Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to briefly kind of follow up on that last caller, and it's a very common misconception. Someone had called in saying about that these fathers aren't paying their child support. Everybody needs to understand that the way the law is written, child support is a derivative of child custody, meaning child custody comes first. So the problem is our system is designed right now to not honor those. They almost put time, custody time, and child support, the financial aspect of it, on the same plane, and they're not. They're not supposed to be by the courts. So right now our system is literally pushing fathers away, and I believe on the TV show last night, or whenever, I think it was last night, that was the point he was making, is that we are literally are putting a welfare system before placing and keeping fathers in, even broken homes, in the family aspect through the eyes of the child.
Yeah, the government wants to take the place of the father. The government wants to be the source of reliance for these individuals because that expands their reach and their power when people trade liberty for security.
Right. And I'm part of an organization, Americans for Equal Shared Parenting. Mm-hmm. We've been in the Capitol for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Writing and putting in, I believe you and I have had conversations on Facebook, basically writing legislation, and it's been sponsored by Senator Wayne Wallingford, and in the House it's been sponsored by Kathy Swan. It's a rebuttable presumption, and what that would do it would allow for the conversation between custody between both legally fit and willing parents. It would allow them to actually come to the table and the courts to take a position of, you know, okay, so how are we going to do this 50-50? If there's nothing there, if there's no abuse, if there's nothing alleged that can be proven, why isn't that conversation happening before we have people calling in saying, you know, we've got a lot of these deadbeat dads? Because I take, along with many thousands of fathers across this country, take great offense that that's the narrative that keeps being put out there.
Well,
there
you are know, a lot of fathers Jeremy, what's stepping up. What's the website, or do you have a place, a Facebook group or something, where you are using the place to consolidate all of this information?
Yeah, the Facebook page is Americans for Equal Share Parenting, which is the abbreviation AF, as in Frank, ESP.com. You can go to that website. Or just Americans for Equal Share Parenting. We just got back from Washington, D.C. We had Bob McEwen speaking there. We had Ed Martin speaking there, along with many other people. We did a three-day conference out there. We're trying to deal with the Federal Social Security Act, which actually mandates right now. That's what mandates to the states that there will be child support in all 50 states because there's a rebuttable presumption that any case that goes to trial, you're going to have child support unless you can rebut it.
Yeah.
There are no protections in the federal law that protect the relationship with the child with both of their parents.
Jeremy, thank you so much for calling the show. You have that information there where you can find out more. And, you know, I've talked with him before about this, and I really appreciate what he's doing. I don't think it's not mutually exclusive to say that every woman who is having an abortion or wanting to have an abortion is connected to a deadbeat dad, but there are a lot of deadbeat dads out there. You know, like just because I say that a woman is sitting in a clinic and having to choose between life or death, and she is looking to choose death because she's terrified, and she's in there making that decision by herself, maybe he doesn't know.
That also happens.
It absolutely happens. But it is absolutely a problem that the woman's movement, the postmodern feminist movement, has created, in that they have abdicated women from having to have responsibility. And in doing so, men are so off the hook if they want to be.
Yeah.
Men can just abandon ship because you can just have an abortion. I'll even pay for it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But get rid of that thing. I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
That is a repercussion of a postmodern feminist movement. And when I talk about women making decisions on their own, that's not to say that every father that's ever been a father that hasn't been able to see their child as a deadbeat dad. So that I want to clarify that, to make sure that if you are taking care of your child and your responsibilities, you are, and I are, on the same side, and I will lock arms with you and fight for every baby to be born. But there are lots of women who don't even get talked about in the abortion movement because we're too busy fighting over pointing at one side, saying one side hates women and wants to control women's bodies, and the other side is going baby murderer, baby murderer. And while there are some people who hate women and want to control women's bodies, there are not that many of them. That is a great minority.
And I can almost guarantee you they're not pro-life. They want to control the women's bodies in a different way.
Exactly. And the people who are on the other side who are only screaming baby murderer, there are very few people who are just in it for murdering babies.
Yeah.
So let's come to the middle and have a rational conversation about it and understand all of the circumstances that are involved in this issue. I want to take a quick break because when we come back, we're going to get a live update on the situation in Iran, because it appears as though Iran is saying that they've seized yet another ship, and it looks as though the president is going to speak. So we want to take a quick break, and we will get back to all of that. We will have the president live when that happens, and we will continue to follow this. And if there's a break in that, we'll continue the conversation as it goes. This is breaking news as it happens, and we will bring it to you the second the president speaks. We'll be back in a minute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
FM News Talk 97.1. You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
An Iranian drone which had closed into a very, very near distance, approximately 1,000 yards, ignoring multiple calls to stand down, and was threatening the safety of the ship and the ship's crew. The drone was immediately destroyed.
That's President Trump speaking about the drone shooting it down yesterday. And in the last hour or so, things are getting kind of dicey here in the Strait of Hormuz. Tony, start from the top. What do we know about today?
Yeah, so the first story was of this British flagged oil tanker that was seized by the country of Iran in the Strait of Hormuz today. The name of the ship is the Stena Imperio. It has a crew of 23 people. According to the company that operates the tanker, they say that the tanker was approached by unidentified small crafts and a helicopter during transit of the Strait of Hormuz while the vessel was in international waters. They say that they are presently unable to contact the vessel, which is now heading north towards Iran. Iran's Revolutionary Guard put out a statement saying the ship was seized for non-compliance with international maritime laws and regulations, and the Associated Press is saying that that tanker is being brought to an unnamed Iranian port. So that's that situation, which has been going on for a few minutes now, and we've been covering. Now, in the last just couple of minutes, a new story has emerged that Iran has seized a second tanker in that area, a Liberian-flagged vessel that is operated, allegedly, by a UK company, a British company, but is Liberian flagged. Less information about that situation has been revealed because it is breaking at the moment and happening as we are speaking. But reports are that Iran has now seized that, a second tanker, again, near the Straits of Hormuz. So that is two ships in one day.
And yeah,
this definitely is a story that is unfolding before our eyes.
So we're seeing this happen on CNN. We're seeing this on Fox News. We're reading about it. I'm seeing various news sources reporting on it. And I have to be very careful about what news sources I'm citing here from, because I don't want to pull something that is being sensationalized if I don't recognize the source. But the president is supposed to be speaking. We've seen Fox News promoting that he will be speaking soon, so we're hoping that he'll speak before 3 p.m. so we can carry it live. If the president is speaking before 3, we will have it live for you here on the Annie Fry Show, and then we'll see what happens next. But this, I mean, Tony, you just reported, 10 minutes ago about the first ship, and then in that course of time, we found out there's a second ship. Yeah. One of them is
the second ship, I mean, is within the last 20 minutes that story broke. The first ship was within an hour or so. So this is all happening right now.
Yeah, this is crazy. It sounds like Iran is trying to close off the entire area, which would be disastrous. Because the Strait of Hormuz...
For Iran.
Well, for Iran, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
I mean there's a large percentage of the world's oil that moves through that area. So it would be in the interest of pretty much every other country around the world to make Iran stand down. So this could escalate very quickly unless there's a diplomatic solution found soon.
Can we remember when the president was 10 minutes away from striking Iran?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And he pulled back.
Yeah. The last minute. The birds were in the air.
Do you know why he pulled back? He pulled back so that if something like this happened on a global scale where it affected other countries, that they would not have to look at the United States and have us have already had blood on our hands. And then there would be, if what is happening right now is as it appears to be, and we continue to wait for President Trump to speak on this issue, which we will drop what we're doing and carry it for you the second he starts speaking here on the Annie Fry Show. If these ships get seized after Trump makes that strike and kills one person,
mm-hmm.
Trump's partially responsible in reality, mm-hmm. for that next action. And as far as the media is concerned, Trump is in charge of starting World War III.
Right, exactly.
He pulled back.
Yeah.
That is such an important detail right now to know that you had, what was it, a UK ship? Is that what it was?
The first one is a UK flagged vessel. The second one is a Liberian flagged vessel that allegedly is operated by a British company.
So yeah, if he hadn't done this, then it there would, you know, if he had gone through with that attack, this would easily be looked at as an escalation. You know, it's him escalating these things, and this is the Iranian response.
His hand is in it now because this has happened this way.
It's on Iran,
and the United States gets the opportunity to show up and help their allies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As opposed to starting something that gets the allies in a web. Now we'll see what happens here. We'll see what happens next. But at this point in time, I'm thinking the president pulled back on killing 150 people because he didn't feel it was a measured response. Mm-hmm. But, sir, what is a measured response? And when Iran starts seizing ships in the Strait of Hormuz, what happens next? I want to listen in here to Chris Wallace as he is reacting to this issue right now. Are we good for that? Let's listen in and see what
Chris Wallace says. Now, the seizing of a foreign vessel is a big-time escalation. I think I'd make two points. One, and we are going to talk about the squad, and we're going to talk about it on Sunday, and it is serious. There have been some serious questions raised about race and loyalty to the country. But when you get into a situation like this where ships are being seized and the possibility of military military action and lives literally being at stake, that obviously takes precedence and you know, makes it a lot more serious. And the second point I would make about Iran is they're playing a very dangerous game here. On the one hand, they're obviously getting hammered by U.S. sanctions. The economy is really getting squeezed. They're trying to create go right up to the line of creating international crises that will try to get the West, if not the U.S., to negotiate new deals and to find new ways to provide them with economic relief. But when you start taking British flag tankers, or in this case now a Liberian flag tanker, you really do run the risk of severe military reprisals, at which point, instead of getting a lifting of sanctions, they may get a military punch in the nose. So it's pretty serious stuff. They're playing a dangerous game.
And as you point out, they're getting hammered by U.S. sanctions. They're getting relief from U.K. sanctions, and yet they're going after U.K. tankers. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, there is one other factor in all this, and that's the fact that the Brits seized an Iranian tanker off the coast of Gibraltar, which Britain says is a part of the UK, and because they say that they were trying to smuggle Iranian oil in and break some of the sanctions.
So Chris Wallace reacting right now to what is taking place in the Strait of Hormuz. Iran has seized two ships. That is the report that we have right now, and it has been developing over the last 15 minutes or so, and we are watching this very closely. The president has just walked out to speak on this issue. Let's listen in and see what he has to say.
Way to go. We're the hottest economy now, definitely, actually, for the last quite a bit period of time. And I think we have tremendous potential for a lot of growth. Europe is not doing well. A lot of places.
Is it? It's breaking.
So I just want to let you know.
So the president is speaking right now outside of the White House.
We're in alliance with the UK, and we always have. We heard that. The United States has very few tankers going in because we're using our own energy now. We've made a lot of progress over the last 2.5 years. We don't have very many that are warships, and we'll talk to the UK. And we have no written agreement, but we have an agreement. They've been a very great ally of ours. So we heard about it. We heard it was one. We heard it was two. And we'll be working, which is a good thing. And we'll be working with the UK. But we have no written agreement. But I think we have an agreement which is longstanding.
So President Trump is speaking outside of the White House. He is headed somewhere. Wish that they would go have this like on when he steps out of the White House.
I think it's amazing that as we were cutting away from that, that there are two tankers that have been captured in the Strait of Hormuz. And it's obvious that he's not, that he's dodging the question right now, that he's doesn't have the details or whatever. He's not prepared to speak on it.
That makes me think that this is an active situation.
Right. But that's happening. Mm-hmm. And that, and I don't know if you could hear it, but what the question that he was being asked as we were breaking away from it was, what if somebody told the first lady to go back to the country from which she came? It doesn't matter what is happening on this planet.
No.
It doesn't matter how important something is or how big of a news story it is. If we have an opportunity to call the president a racist, that, no pun intended, trumps everything else happening in the world. That's crazy.
100%.
I'm looking at the difference between the chyrons on between Fox and CNN. It's, they have the same shot of him speaking. The Fox says, oh, okay, now they're going
Trump
back.
Trump talks about Democratic congresswomen. Democrats. That's theirs.
Because and it just changed on Fox, I guess, because you know he's being asked these things now on the lawn of the front of the White House here. It's just, it's so enraging.
CNN says,
it really is.
Fox says that Trump talks about congresswomen, and CNN talks about, says Trump renews attacks on Representative Omar, praises rally crowd.
Yeah.
If there, that's not, if that's not that editorial, I don't know what freaking is. I am so happy it's Friday. Thank God it's Friday.
Oh my gosh.
Let's take a quick break and listen in. We're going to listen in for you on the break and see what the president says. And if he talks more about what's going on in Iran, meaning if anybody wants to ask him a sensible question, when you have the attention of the president and there are ships being seized by a country on the Strait of Hormuz, no, please, let's talk more about the goof troop in the Congress that only wants to impeach the president. That's all they've ever wanted to do. Nothing is new. It's Friday. I am so happy. Bye. No, I'll be back for one segment. Contractually, I'm obligated.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
FM News Talk 97.1. You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. We've got the president speaking as he is making his way somewhere else. So he's making his way to a helicopter. Whatever happens next, I'm not sure. But we have news coming out of the Middle East. Iran is up to no good. And this is a developing situation. There isn't a lot of info, but we can tell you what we know so far. Tony?
Yeah, so Iran has seized two oil tankers this afternoon. The first one, a British-flagged oil tanker in the Strait of Hormuz. This tanker had 23 people on board, and according to the company that owns it, it was approached by unidentified small crafts and a helicopter during transit of the Strait of Hormuz while the vessel was in international waters. They said that they are presently unable to contact the vessel, which is now heading towards Iran. Iran's Revolutionary Guard has put out a statement saying that they seized the vessel for noncompliance with international maritime laws and regulations. And the Associated Press is reporting that it is being brought to an unnamed Iranian port. So that's number one. That was a little more than an hour ago, and then in the last matter of minutes, reports are out that Iran has seized a second oil tanker, this one a Liberian-flagged vessel that is allegedly owned by a British company. Less information has been put out there about this second ship. The president, as you mentioned, has been speaking on the South Lawn at the White House. He has told reporters that he and the United States will work with Britain on getting these seized tankers back. So, two oil tankers seized by Iran today in the Straits of Hormuz. One a British-flagged vessel, one a Liberian-flagged vessel.
Any predictions? Anybody that brave?
No.
I don't want to speculate yet.
Yeah.
I know. It's scary.
They Iran either wants something that we have.
Attention.
Maybe we have some prisoners, maybe we have some, you know, who knows. They either want something, so they're doing this so they can trade us, or they are acting out because of the dissolution of the nuclear deal that the president got out of. And so now I think that they have been behaving in a way of, well, hey, we don't have to abide by this treaty anymore because you guys broke it. So now we can go back to doing whatever we want to do. And since you guys broke the treaty, we're going to start doing this stuff again. And it's your fault that we're behaving this way. I think that there could definitely be a bit of that involved in what
basically the reaction of a petulant child who doesn't like their discipline.
Yep.
Yeah. you can definitely tell that the sanctions that the U.S. has imposed on them is hurting them. I mean, that's for sure. I think most analysts are saying that their economy is really hurting because of those. So I think it's kind of par for the course for the rogue regimes to get a little I'd say provocative, I guess, in their actions when they're hurting really badly from sanctions. But there's always going to be a line where they pull back, or at least there tends to be a line where they pull back. So yeah,
Liberia is.
Somebody on Twitter is asking me, isn't what they're doing piracy? And the answer is, from our perspective, probably. But if they're saying that these vessels were breaking the law, then they're saying, well, we're simply enforcing
our laws. Our laws.
Yeah, right? International.
So that answers
maritime treaty laws, yeah.
Liberia is a settlement of the American Colonization Society. And according to Wikipedia, this is very scientific, who believe black people would face better chances for freedom and prosperity in Africa than in the United States. The country declared its independence on July 26, 1847. The U.S. did not recognize Liberia's independence until February 5th of 1862 during the American Civil War. Between January 7th and 1822 and the American Civil War, more than 15,000 freed and freeborn black people who faced legislated limits in the U.S., and over 3,000 Afro-Caribbeans relocated to the settlement. The settlers carried their culture and tradition with them. The Liberian constitution and flag were modeled after those of the United States. On July 3rd, 1848, Joseph Jenkins Roberts, a wealthy, freeborn African-American from Virginia who settled in Liberia, was elected Liberia's first president after the people's proclaimed independence. It's kind of an interesting history lesson there on Liberia.
Oh, yeah.
You have, Gabe, have a connection to Liberia with some charity work.
Yeah, a couple of my friends from church are from Liberia. They grew up in the rural areas of Liberia, and they started a school to help give other rural kids the same opportunities that they got when they got their educations. So now they're in need right now. There's a lot of graft out there in Liberia, but one of the things that happened was they had their rent of the property where the school is increased, and they're being demanded prepayment of a multi-year rental contract, and that amounts to the sum of $9,000. Not too much for us. I mean, for rent for a school for a couple years here, $9,000 isn't much, but it's a ton to them. It's not like they have it in their back pocket. So I started a GoFundMe to help them. So if you want to do so, if you want to help them,
will you tweet it?
Oh yeah, I can retweet it. It's my pinned tweet currently, mm-hmm. And also pinned the top of my Facebook page. But either way, I'm gonna send it out again, and hopefully get some retweets and everything like that. And yeah, go there, donate. Any amount will help.
Absolutely. At John Philosopher.
That's right. You helped me with that.
I never know if there's an STSC in front of it, but it's at John Philosopher.
Yeah,
right?
At John Philosopher. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Well, we're going to continue to watch this. You'll be able to hear all the updates and our news updates for sure throughout the rest of the show. Yeah. So, as you... What? Annie, are you okay?
You want it?
Do you have it?
I do.
Wait.
We prepared.
And now it's time to play. Is Annie okay with this?
Just shut up a long time ago if I knew that was
signaling. That was just me signaling you that I had it if you wanted it.
When Tony wants something, he doesn't use words. He slams the table and we all go, yes, sir, what?
Shuffle papers. I was shuffling my papers.
Shuffle.
I don't know. Al was holding on the line. He just hung up. He said maybe the Iranians are acting like Trump.
Oh, boy.
Annie, are you okay?
That's cute.
I'd rather do that.
He's gone. He's listening, though. Hi, Al.
Target is already selling Halloween stuff.
Oh, stop it.
Target isn't the only one who's already in Halloween mode. Yesterday, a website, HalloweenCostumes.com, released the results of their 2019 Halloween in America survey. Because you're so curious, in mid-July, they found 34% of adults think kids should start trick-or-treating alone at the age of 11. I can't believe we're doing Halloween polls and putting Halloween stuff in stores already. Are you okay with Halloween stuff being in stores?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Do it.
We're going to Disney World around Halloween, so quicker Halloween can get here, the better.
I'm going to Disney World in 9 days.
Just the other day, Annie was saying, we're almost to Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
We're halfway through, right?
I wish there was more Christmas stuff I love it. I love it because people freak out about it, and I'm like, there are Iranian ships getting seized out of the Strait of Hormuz, are doing somersaults because you're mad about seeing a ghost in a Walmart.
Well, when you put it that way.
I'm not ready.
I'm not ready for Halloween stuff.
Honestly, it entertains me to watch people freak out about it. So carry on. I'm entertained. Are you not entertained?
Just trolling us.
If you're wondering yep. whether someone you've been dating has ever gone through your phone to check up on you, the answer is almost definitely yes.
If who has?
Your significant other.
Oh. Jared.
According to a new survey, one out of five people have gone through their significant other's phone without permission. For millennials, that number jumps to one out of three.
Ooh.
And 73% of the people who have snooped say they don't regret it.
Hmm.
33% say they found evidence of something they already suspected, and 18% found out something they hadn't suspected. So, one out of five people say that they have gone through their significant other's phone. If you're a millennial, that jumps to one out of three. Are you okay with going through your significant other's phone?
I think it's all based in trust. I've looked at my husband's phone without him knowing I'm looking at his phone. But if he looked at my phone, there's nothing in my phone that I, like, unless it's like Christmas time and I'm covert shopping. Mm-hmm. But it's not the action of looking through, like the physical picking up a phone and going through it, so to speak. It's why are you doing that?
Right.
And if you suspect that you're going to, like, what I'll do is I'll pick up his phone and I will look and see if he got a babysitter acquired while he's in the shower to do something. Something that I need to know that I'm not going to, if the phone's downstairs and he's upstairs, I'll just do that. And he knows that I do that. I don't know that he loves that I do it, but I do it. And if he were to go through my phone to research some information that I would just ask him anyway, I don't have anything on my phone that I'm worried about him finding. If you are looking because
you know what
you
I'm
think
asking you first?
If I'm there, but if he's by my phone, I mean, it's a thing, it's mutual trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust him. And if you're doing it because you don't trust somebody, that's the problem. You're looking through someone's phone is just a symptom of a greater problem, I guess.
Do you guys share your locations with your significant others and follow that? Like, you can see where they're at.
Yeah,
I think they can do that.
I don't know how to do that. But
yeah, you can share your location
with specific people. Yeah,
yeah, and then you can.
We all have that turned.
I will absolutely do that when I have kids. I don't think we do that now.
Yeah. I think we do that. I never check, but I think that they check.
They're like, "Where's Dad?"
And they check.
Maggie's waiting at the door.
We can check on. Yes. Oh, don't even.
I like to know how close she is, so I can have dinner ready when she gets home.
Oh, what an answer!
Nice guy.
Snap.
Eat
just
it.
Just get the hell out of the studio right now.
I thought you were trying to lose weight.
Lay off me, I'm starving.
Okay,
that was gay, by the way.
Here's something that you didn't know you were doing wrong. Oh. Eating chocolate. Apparently, we've been eating chocolate wrong our whole lives, according to experts who nobody asked you.
Your delicious wife.
Four things that we are doing wrong when we eat chocolate. Number one, stop chewing it so much. You'll taste more if you press it on the roof of your mouth.
I think I do that.
And let it dissolve.
It lasts longer.
Stop eating it in huge chunks. Breaking it up into smaller pieces releases the aromas so you taste it more.
Interesting.
Three, smell it before you eat it. Just like wine, experts say you should smell your chocolate before you pop it in your mouth. It primes your taste buds
so
you get more flavor. And four, stop washing it down so fast. The taste of chocolate lasts a fairly long time. If you let it linger, you keep getting the flavor without eating more, which also saves calories. Annie, are you okay with being told how to eat your chocolate?
Well, what that person did not take into account is that I am trying not to let my children see that I am eating said chocolate. And sometimes you have to do it fast and then tell them that you're eating vegetables. That's the truth. That's the God's honest truth. What are you eating, Mom? Broccoli?
Nothing. Sometimes you guys just got to sit in the closet and stuff your face with,
Sometimes you just have to do that while you're crying.
When you're crying.
So,
my thing is, I'll eat the chocolate that way. I want to eat my chocolate.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm not concerned at all about Katie finally cusses on the show and she says, hell yeah, don't tell me how to eat my chocolate.
Don't do it. This is crossing the line.
This is where I draw the line, folks. Dave Glover Show coming up next. Check the podcast out at radio.com, iTunes, anywhere you get your podcasts. Dave, coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.